Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Irene Blog Talk Radio Show with your host, Minister and Ben. And you're listening to it on the Win Network. Yes, that's right, Win Network. Together, we win. Stay tuned.
Welcome to the Irene Blog Talk Radio Show. You know who I am. I appreciate you joining me, Minister Annie Bell, the host and creator of Irene Blog Talk Radio Show, which is an outreach of Wealth Management Ministries Incorporated. We endeavor to bring talk therapy to survivors of child abuse, sex trafficking, and other traumas, as well as providing awareness, prevention, and resources to the community. Again, thank you so much for joining us. Now, you know, January is Human Trafficking Awareness Month, and to commemorate that, we have taken the entire month of January to talk about different aspects of that heinous, horrendous industry of selling sex by taking prisoner, basically, the vulnerable population. We're talking about children. We're talking about boys and women. Is going on all around the world. It is quickly becoming the number one crime, universal global crime. Again, different from drug trafficking or gun trafficking, the sex trafficking, that is such a lucrative business because there's nothing that the trafficker has to continue to purchase. So once they have a person, a victim in hand, they can utilize and sell that person over and over and over again. They never have to go and replenish. And so it is becoming, again, the number one crime. And you've heard our reports and how heinous it is and how cruel it is. There's always physical. There's the manipulation. There is obviously the sex that is going on that is rape. Again, basically, it's they're taking what they want, selling who they want. So today we have a wonderful panel now of detectives. And this episode is entitled Law and Order SVU. Now, I don't know if y'all watch SVU, but I watch every last one of them. And so I'm excited because I almost feel like I have, you know, the crew here. So so I am just so delighted. We have Detective Neil and Detective Gibbs who are here. And they're going to tell us a little bit about themselves. They're from the DeKalb County Police Department and the SVU division. And so I want to welcome everyone to the virtual studio, Detective Neil, Detective Gibbs. Welcome.
Hey, thank you.
Hello. Thank you for having us.
Yes, we are all excited to have you here. And again, like I said, you know, it's like having Detective Slave, Sue Stabler, is it? And Olivia here, you know, you got you ladies representing. And secondly, you know, I'm not a feminist, but I am all about girl power. So to have both ladies bold and beautiful here out there on the streets and taking care of us, oh my gosh, I am peacock proud, okay, to have you on my show, for real. Well, first let's start out. I want my audience to get to know you a little bit. So I'm going to start with Detective Neal. Could you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Okay, I'm Detective Neal. I'm, of course, with DeKalb County Police Department Special Victims Unit. Work as far as special victims, I do work the sex crimes with youth and sex, as well as domestic violence. I am from Beckley, West Virginia. I've been a police officer now for 8 years. I've been a detective now for 3.5 years. And I also have a ministry with abused women and children. I am also a pastor, and you know, I look forward to doing God's work and his will, because this is a part of ministry.
Amen. Yeah, it is. It certainly is. And, you know, I love the, I believe it's in 1 Timothy, where it talks about the, you know, us taking the violent by force. And,
yeah.
You know, I'm an itty bitty little girl, but when something make me mad, I'm ready to take up arms. You know what I mean? So, like I say, you calling out the inner warrior in me. As a detective. How about you, Detective Gibbs? Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Sure. I actually grew up in the DeKalb County and Gwinnett County area. I went to high school in Gwinnett County. I ended up going to Columbus State University and studied psychology there. That's just an hour and a half or so away from the Atlanta area. And I knew from a fairly young age, I was about a teenager, that I wanted to work in communities and I wanted to do work that served populations that were maybe underserved or misrepresented in some way. So I actually started off my professional career doing case management with the AmeriCorps program. I worked at a homeless shelter downtown and I ended up moving to the Goodwill Career Center, where I did job skills training and taught basic computer classes there to help people get ready for work. And then my next step up for me was to begin employment with DeKalb County, with the police department. So it's been about 6 years that I've been with them, and I've been in the special victims unit for about 2.5.
Wow.
And it's against domestic violence, sex trafficking specifically are the types of cases that I work.
Okay, and I was going to ask you then, you know, what does your job as a detective, what does it actually entail? You said you work more with the sex trafficking and the child abuse, was it?
Right, crimes against children.
Wow.
The unit that I'm a part of is a smaller branch of special victims. And so the cases that I have specifically are crimes against children, cases that involve child pornography and sex trafficking of minors.
Wow. Gosh. I'm going to love to have you back on the show another time, since that is such a big crux of our show. How about you, Detective Neal? Where your focus area in the SVU arena, what do you actually do?
I'm in the our units overlap. We're within the same unit, but we have the smaller units within our division of special victims. So I actually deal with child molestations and rapes, and I just transitioned into domestic violence, but I still deal with child molestations and rapes. And in doing that, you know, we're the both of us really are the voice for the silent child or adult, and we're also the bigger voice for the voice that's louder, you know. So in doing that, we represent, we do forensic interviews where children are interviewed and their voices are to be heard, you know, so they can receive a certain level of justice. So in our unit, we deal with of course, child molestations, rapes, a part of missing persons. But right now, I'm specifically, I just transitioned to domestic violence.
I mean, it just sends chills up my spine, to be really honest, because not that I'm glad that kids are being molested and raped, okay? That's horrendous. But I am so excited that to know that you guys are out there doing the work. I mean, rolling up your sleeves and you're in the trenches. And I know that you're upstanding people at heart and you have the best intentions for our children and the vulnerable community. I just love you guys. To life, yes.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And if y'all hadn't gotten a pat on the back, you know, you got it from me today. And I'm going to definitely, you know, keep you guys continually in prayer. Now, without really revealing anyone's identity, could you share with our listeners the worst case of child abuse and the worst case of sex trafficking? We'll start with you, Detective Neal. What was your worst case of child abuse that you had to work?
Well, one of the worst cases that I've had is, you know, after, you know, thinking now is when I had a 11-year-old boy who was molesting his siblings, and they were younger than him, and they were like 4 or 5. And after investigation, the root of it was him being molested by his father.
Oh,
so he acted on what was done to him.
Yes.
So in essence, he was a victim, and then his siblings younger than him became victims, male and female.
And so what and that is, again, so sad because you hear about that happening all the time, and that is, I believe, some statistic of between 95% and 98% of victims, they say that if they do not get counseling and recovery, that there is a very high probability of them becoming a predator, becoming an abuser. What happened to them, the 11-year-old? Was he, you know, just taken into custody? Did he have to serve time in the juvenile detention?
Well, by him being under the age of, you know, being under age of 13, they take a different avenue with kids who are, you know, under the age of 13. And at that point with him, as well as the children, of course, forensic interviews were done, which consisted of them being able to tell what happened to each one of them. And as a result, they ended up getting counseling, taking classes in reference to educating them in terms of sexual behavior. And, you know, and of course, further investigation was done in reference to the parent.
Did the parent go to jail?
Well, actually, the actual case was turned over to another county because that part happened in another county.
Oh, I see. Wow.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, that is, you know, that's a hard case. But I'm glad that the 11-year-old, along with his siblings, are getting some help and some counseling so that he has a chance to grow up. I mean, it wasn't his fault. It was initiated by an adult, and that adult should be the one that is being held accountable. And so that it's a sad situation. What I'm going to do, Detective Gibbs, is I'm going to take a quick break. And then I'm going to come back and allow you to answer that same question. So everybody, please keep your cheeks in the sheets, in the seats, not the sheets, the seats. And we'll be right back. Thank you so much.
Have you priced commercials lately? Advertising can truly break your budget. At Wynn, we eliminate the most common hurdle to advertising. Advertise with Wynn to reach potential customers locally, nationally, and internationally for as low as $150. Yes, that's right, $150 per commercial. We Inspire Network Radio is a new and rapidly growing online radio network that boasts of dynamic seasoned show hosts who are drawing audiences from across the nation and abroad. Africa, Australia, Scotland, Canada, just to name a few. We also have the technical capabilities to advertise your products and services through sound bites, slideshows, and more. No long-term contracts. You pay per show. Advertise on Win, and you are sure to be a winner. For more information, call us 201-477-0469. Email Annie Bell at wealthmanagement-fs.org.
Welcome back to I Reign Blog Talk Radio Show with your host, Minister Annie Bell.
Okay, thank you so much for staying with us and staying tuned, not moving anywhere. You are listening to I Reign Blog Talk Radio Show, and I am Minister Annie Bell. As you know, I Reign is an outreach of Wealth Management Ministries, and so any and all donations and considerations of funding is much appreciated, as this is a nonprofit. If you're interested in sponsoring a show or advertising on our shows, please connect with our marketing department at 201-477-0469. We are back with the bold and the beautiful Detective Neil and Detective Gibbs, who are here to talk about the last question was, what is the most, without really revealing any names, the worst case of sex trafficking that you had to work with, Detective Gibbs?
Yeah, I think like Detective Neil, some of the worst cases for me involve victims that are victimized by someone that they know, a family member, a neighbor, someone from their school. I think maybe we have a misunderstanding of what sex trafficking is, and in our minds we think it's something that doesn't happen in the U.S. It's overseas. People are kidnapped and dragged into a life of prostitution. And that does happen sometimes. I fortunately have been lucky enough to not have to work any cases that extreme, but the cases that I've gotten even recently are victims, you know, aged 13 and 14 years old, who are recruited into the lifestyle. One female I can speak about was recruited into the lifestyle by her older sister. She had grown up separately. They have different fathers. She lived out of state with her father. And talking to the mother, they thought that coming back to Georgia would be a safe place for her. She could be reunited with her sisters and get to know them. And it turns out her sister had been involved in prostitution for several years. She was at least 10 years older than my victim. And this sister thought she was taking the girl under her wing and showing her this lifestyle of living in the street and selling your body for monetary gain was how she thought she should raise her up. So I spoke to that victim, and she was so young. She was 14. She didn't understand that maybe this is not typical. You know, this is not how you get to know your family and how you bond with your siblings. She was just going along with it. And fortunately, when we did get a hold of her, we had an aunt and a mother who were both looking for her. When we did find her, she had been staying in a hotel for 3 weeks. She was emotional about the number of customers that she had had. She had difficulty remembering how many. She guessed that she had between 10 and 15 dates per day, and this was all under the direction and protection of her sister. You know, so they had a coordinated plan. I'll get this hotel room. I'll make sure you're safe, so I'll get the hotel room right next to yours. And she didn't know. Initially, it was just her trying to fit in and belong. Mm-hmm. She had grown up separately from her family, and her older sister thought, well, you're here, and I can show you how to make money, and this is what I know, so I'll also show you the way. So those cases where there's those where it says between the family, those are the ones that really bother me, because – everyone has a general idea on how family dynamics should work, and that your older siblings are supposed to look out for you and protect you and take care of you and be an example. And so many times, especially working these cases in DeKalb, it's not that way. It's, you know, these victims become victims because someone they know and trusted led them down the wrong path.
And that's right. That's right. And again, mm-hmm. statistically speaking, you're talking about mm-hmm. in the 90th percentile that victims are being victimized by mm-hmm. someone they know. It's somebody that they know, whether it's somewhere in their family.
Right.
And there's mm-hmm. more and more cases of parents or caregivers actually sex trafficking their own children, delivering
exactly.
their own child to hotel rooms, arranging
yep.
dates, and I cannot imagine that. I have two kids,
mm-hmm.
and I cannot imagine even talking to someone about them having sex with my child, period.
Right.
You know, so you know that there's brokenness, and when
right.
I talk about how many people, how many kids per year, we're the conservative amount is 800,000 a year who are being abused, whether it's, you know,
mm-hmm.
Sexual abuse, physical abuse, emotional abuse. It's so, but the numbers could be high as a million. And so when you think about how many broken children are growing up without counseling, without healing, and so they themselves are broken as well. And so they
mm-hmm.
Are having children, and they are raising kids in that brokenness. And so
yeah.
dysfunction is bound to be alive. And so
right.
it is so very important for people to heal. And there is healing available through counseling, through Christ. So we want to get to as many people as we possibly can to say, you don't have to suffer through this on your own. And you certainly don't have to become a predator or one who becomes a victimizer in order to survive. So since we're kind of already talking to you, Detective Gibbs, I wanted to talk to you about the last 10 years, comparatively speaking, has sex trafficking in Atlanta gotten bad? If so, how bad?
So I don't know the actual rank, but I know Atlanta is one of the top cities as far as sex trafficking goes. You know, we have our huge airport here. A lot of those major highways run in and out of our city. So I won't say it's number one. I definitely don't think it is, but it's definitely at the top of busiest cities when it comes to sex trafficking. The National Center for Missing and Exploited Children is a resource that we use here. I don't know the statistics offhand, but they tend to look at different vulnerabilities for kids.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of one of the major statistics that they use is out of however many runaways, kids who leave their home or outside of their home for whatever reason, how many of those kids end up getting involved in sex trafficking or fall victim to sex trafficking. I know in 2000, this is according to the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children, in 2014, I think it was one out of every six kids under the age of 18 that had run away or had left home for whatever reason ended up becoming a victim of sex trafficking. In 2015, it was one out of every five. And I'm sure, you know, if we were to go back, I don't know if those statistics have been compiled yet, but I'm sure it's going to be closer to one out of every four at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Just
and I think you're
leaving
right.
the home and not having, for whatever reason they're leaving the home, whether it's because there's abuse going on or they feel like there's some need that's not getting met.
Mm-hmm.
That's where our numbers are coming from. It's just becoming more frequent.
And we did a show a couple of weeks ago on
mm-hmm.
survival sex among teens, and which is
exactly.
although we categorize it as sex trafficking, because it is there is a factor involved with them having to sell their bodies to get their needs met. And we're talking basic
exactly.
needs, food, shelter. And
right.
and it is a very high percentage of runaways. They tend to turn to selling their bodies, whether they hear it from another runaway or someone has manipulated them that, hey, I'll give you a piece of fried chicken if you give me a blowjob.
Exactly.
You know, and that's the harsh reality. And part of what we're trying to do here at Irene is we're not going to be vulgar, but we definitely want to make sure that we're not throwing rose-colored glasses on everybody and saying, hey, this is it's not that bad. It is that
right.
bad.
Yeah,
it is not pretty out here for our children. And the saddest part of it all is they if a majority for the children anyway, if they're getting their love from their parents and from their caregiver, they wouldn't be so easily manipulated because, again, sad to say, some of these traffickers are just smooth talkers. They know how to look for and see vantage points and say, okay, this girl just wants to be loved, or she just wants to be told she's pretty, or she is
right.
of value. Well, those are the things that we as parents should be able to say to our children so that they know it. They know what authentic agape love is. And so when they see false love, they'll be able to say, oh, no, you are a joker, and I need you to back off me.
Exactly.
Now, yeah, from a law enforcement standpoint, and I'm going to volley this over to Detective Neal, is, what is the first thing that a citizen should do if they suspect child abuse?
Report it. Report it to the local law enforcement. Make a report. Make us aware. Make us aware of what's going on, because something that may appear to be small is really not small. And then sometimes we may know or have an idea, but it may confirm or give us another avenue when it comes to an investigation. That's the
and
first
that's
thing.
Good. That's good.
And also, as Detective Gibbs indicated, the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children, you could go as far as reporting it to that as well, which would be good. Again, a lot of times, children, as Detective Gibbs has said, have stated that they're runaways. And that's one of the key indicators of that there's something wrong. And if someone suspects that a child is being exploited, then we need to know, or the local law enforcement in which they reside needs to know.
That's very good. And, one thing I would like to add to that, it is difficult for your average Joe Blow when they see something that's a bit obscure, kind of hidden, and it's not in your face abuse. It's like, okay, what do I do with that? And I was faced with that a couple of weeks ago around Christmas, and it wasn't direct. There were three kids under the age of probably five, two in car seats and one kind of just roaming about the car. The car was on, and there was no adult. And I didn't know if I should report it, if I should. And by the time I went in the store, came back, and they were still out there. And that at that point, I said, I'm going to go ahead and call. By the time I called, the mother came back. And any other time, I would have thought, okay, we got to report this, because this is – somebody could just hop in the car and take them,
Right.
But – because like I said, the car was running. But in certain situations, your average citizen – may not know. So I like what you said that, it's not for us to detect it. It's not for us to evaluate it. If we see something that breaches our understanding, then that would be a good enough reason to just call and then let you guys who know what to do, do the rest. Is that what I'm hearing?
Exactly. Perfectly said. Yeah.
Great. Now, Detective Gibbs, that same question, but more from the sex trafficking end. What, again, are some of the first things that a citizen should do if they suspect it?
Well, like you said, trust your instincts. Especially if you frequent an area, what things don't look right. When there's a girl standing and you've never really seen her before, You know, if you, her attire doesn't match the weather, that does, that something's not right about it. So definitely, as citizens, trust your instinct. If it doesn't look right, then call us. Like you said, you don't have to, you don't have to be the one that's pressing charges. You don't have to be the one that's doing the investigation. But, you know, officers are out and about doing as much as they can, answering 911 calls. We can't possibly be everywhere at all times. So we do rely on our citizens. It's why we, you know, go to the schools and try to teach the kids about things to look for. I know some of our other detectives have gone to other workplaces and talked about what the signs are, you know, the education of knowing what to look for exactly and just trusting your instincts is a combination that we're looking for, and that, that will help us to do our job better.
And again, like you said, it's us getting, teaching the awareness just so that you can at least look for certain signs. And but to act on that gut feeling, truckers for against traffickers. I think that that's how they start. They're just truckers out there, you know, taking Walmart trucks to different places in the United States. But they have rallied together because they notice that things are going on the highways and in the truck stops. And so average Joe, your average citizen, we are empowered to do something about it. And when there's more for a situation, then they'll be less apt for victimization. I have to take another quick break. So, everyone, please stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Hello, everybody. My name is Minister Annie Bell, and I am the host of IRANE Blog Talk Radio Show, where we endeavor to bring talk therapy to survivors of child abuse, sex trafficking, and other traumas, as well as being the vehicle by which we use to bring awareness and resources to the community to aid in the prevention of these abuses. IRANE, which is a declarative acronym for the individual survivor, that means I identify myself as a survivor, no longer a victim. R, reclaim my life. E, excel at living. G, grow in Christ. And N, nurture myself and others. This declarative acronym has developed into a victorious lifestyle brand that empowers and aids in the healing journey of survivors of abuse, sex trafficking, and other traumas. I have also written a book entitled, with the namesake, I Reign, A Survivor's Guide to Thrive, which is now available at Amazon.com and Barnes & Noble. Pick up your copy of my book today and join me every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. here on We Inspire Network Radio, where together, through God, we win. If we endure, we will reign with Christ.
Welcome back to I Reign Blog Talk Radio Show with your host, Minister Annie Bell.
Hi, again, I'm Minister Annie Bell with I Reign Blog Talk Radio Show, and of course, we're powered by WIN Radio. Again, we are an outreach of Wealth Management Ministries, a 501c3 nonprofit organization. Through our nonprofit organization, we endeavor to bridge the gap between the rich and the poor through teaching of financial literacy and Christian counseling for those in the underdeveloped areas. We are back with our panel of guests, Detective Neal and Detective Gibbs, and we're talking about, again, how empowered we are to do and help those who might be victims of whether child abuse, sex trafficking, and even domestic violence. So welcome back, ladies.
Thank you.
Thank
you. You're welcome. You're welcome. Now, you know, in the news a couple of days ago, I saw where somebody was able to get help by writing a note to the UPS driver. What would you say? What would you say to that certain steps that a victim can take to get rescued? And if I can, I'll volley this over to Detective Neal. What can they do to get rescued?
Well, first of all, when you talk about them being rescued, one of the first things that I see with victims is that there's a trust issue. They have now just become tricked into believing that this person who they thought was a friend or a boyfriend or something of that nature, they trusted them. Now all of a sudden they become let down. And one of the things that they have to know and to feel is that they can trust to be able to get help.
Wow.
So in the situation where the child gave the note to the UPS driver, that was an avenue for the UPS driver to help be that voice for that child.
Yeah.
So a lot of times when we encounter these children, we have to they don't have a trust factor. So we have to, in a sense, have their safe havens where they can go, and we have to make those known to them. So they're able to be able to feel safe. That's the key thing. So when they come to us, we have to kind of make them, in a sense, as best as we can, make them feel comfortable. Now, I don't know if Detective Gibbs has another avenue.
Mm-hmm.
But, but it's a trust factor. To me, there's really not an ABC. It's actually kind of taking things as they come, as well as making resources known.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
So they
thank
can
you so much.
Somehow feel safe. Yes.
Yes, thank you. And I think education is a part too for the children. And it's sad to say that we have to begin educating our children so young about such things. But I began teaching my children again because I'm a survivor of child sexual abuse, and so mm-hmm. I began teaching my children at a very young age about. I gave the real name for their private parts. We don't call them tatas
mm-hmm.
and lilies or whatever. You know, their penises, their breasts, their vaginas.
Mm-hmm.
We use those words. And I've taught them, anywhere that your swimming suit is on, you can't let anyone touch you. But you had to start so young, and that's sad. But on the flip side, by teaching them, they themselves, have the education and they're able to, guard against and be
right.
a little bit more, safe. How about you, Detective Gibbs, from this, again, the sex trafficking
mm-hmm.
way, what do you think is a way to get
rescued? So I think, like what Detective Neal said, there are just some basic needs that need to be met. We need to be fed, we need to be clothed, sheltered, and we need to, in order to tell our story, feel like we can trust the person that we're talking
mm-hmm.
to.
Mm-hmm.
What I've seen with some of our girls is that they don't trust anybody, that they have
sure.
Been manipulated by whoever is working them. They have been taught not to trust anyone, not to tell, even when things get really bad, when they have experienced violence or sexual assault, when it's no longer, if it was ever voluntary participation, when it gets that bad, they still revert back to that threat that was kind of instilled by whoever was working them, you better not tell. And so a
mm-hmm.
lot of our time initially in dealing with these, we do get boys and girls too, girls obviously more frequently, but a lot of times dealing with these young girls, it's just establishing that sense for them, I'm here for you and only you. Tell
mm-hmm.
me your history, tell me where you're from, tell me what you need right now so that you can feel like you can rely on me, and I'll do
mm-hmm.
whatever I can to make sure that you feel safe and that you trust me and that whatever you say here will work to your benefit. So that is a big part of that trust, because a lot of times those girls, they don't believe that they're victims. They look
That's
at
right.
the things that they might be getting in return for the use of their body or the use of their time, and to them it outweighs whatever negative may come, but they don't realize until they're a little past it that they have lost their childhood, and there are some psychological effects that may follow them. So it is a lot of work, but we love it. You know, the detectives that work in our unit work very hard, and they do this work specifically because they love it, because they love these victims and these cases. So
yes. And, you know, we talk about trust, and you also, you know, I've heard and read stories where some of the clients of the victims are uniformed officers. They actually come in with their uniforms on, rape the girls, and going about their way. So the trust is very, I mean, that's very thin. It's very hard to gain because they don't know who is there to help them. And so it's a very, very scary position to be in. I can't imagine being in such a situation like that. And I know as a victim myself of child sexual abuse, the fear tactics are, I mean, they work, you know.
Oh, yeah.
I was told if you say anything, A, B, C, and D is going to happen, and I believed it. I'm a child. I don't know all the laws. I don't know what is false, but I know I was supposed to be able to trust this grown up. And so it really places so much burden on the victim. And I want to ask you guys, talking about the victim, what are some of the, in your opinion, now, you know, and I'm not going to hold you guys to it and or anything, but just in your opinion, what are some of the protocols or laws that need to be changed or implemented to decrease incidences of child abuse and sex trafficking? But since I have you on right now, Detective Gibbs, can you talk about that from the sex trafficking side?
Sure. I know not too long ago, sex trafficking as a charge, as a felony offense, did not exist. It was pimping, which is a misdemeanor, pandering, which is a misdemeanor, prostitution, which was a misdemeanor. So for anyone that was involved in the transportation or harbor recruitment of a child for the purpose of commercial sex was not really being held accountable. They were getting little misdemeanor charges, low fines, low sentencing. So I want to say maybe 15 years ago, I don't quote me on that, but there was definitely a push by law enforcement and lawmakers and attorneys to go, these are real victims. These are children. They've been manipulated. These people are just as bad as the adults who are abusing our children. Well, there needs to be a tougher sentencing. So that there was recent implementation of trafficking for the purpose of sexual servitude. It became a felony. It began to include anyone basically who was involved, the pimp who was recruiting, anyone who was keeping a place for the purpose of prostitution. So that fell under anyone who knowingly worked at a hotel and knowingly knew about the victims that were at their location, the person who kept the home that allowed this to take place in the bathroom, anyone who transported a juvenile to and from, and it's not just juveniles, there are adults who are forced into this lifestyle too, but anyone who transported them to their dates or provided for them in some type of way or was a customer of that child or of that person who was a victim. They also got that larger felony charge that had some weight and meant business. You know, this is not a game. This is serious. These are our children. If the parents are not doing their part, it is up to us, law enforcement, and our prosecutors to make sure that you are held responsible and that our kids are safe. So that is a recent. And we love it. We love it because you do. If you have knowledge, and you don't and you don't help, if you allow your residence to be used, and you don't care, you know, as long as you're getting a little profit, or as long as the police are coming by, it's not fair. And so we wanted there was a push for a more serious charge. So that has been great for us.
Yeah, that is good. And you know, because was it co-conspirator? I mean, you know,
exactly.
Everybody is going to go down with the ship. And I think
exactly.
that is wonderful. Mm-hmm. I know we got to take a quick break, but before we go, I want to also say my two cents is that I think there needs to be some type of incentives for these little mom and pop motels, the hourly rated mm-hmm. motels where majority of the, you know, the traffickers are going to,
right.
to deliver the person to the John.
Mm-hmm.
I think, you know, some type of incentive for them to turn them in or to learn to see the different cues and clues.
Yeah,
I also think that, like you said, stop charging the victims. That is ludicrous. Why would a 14-year-old girl be charged with prostitution? That is absolutely
exactly.
crazy. And we need to set something in the middle so that a place where they can go as a haven while all this is going on, if they are rescued, instead of being thrown into jail because there's nowhere else for them to go. And my last soapbox is that I think there has to be a harsher sentencing to the John. If there was no demand for this flesh, then guess what? There's no money to be made, no traffickers. It'll be gone. If we enforce harsher sentencing than a slap on the hands for a John, then I think we will see a greater portion of it going down. So again, that's just my two cents, but I have to take another quick break and then we'll be right back. Hold on, everybody. Thank you so much.
All right.
Sadly, today most of us know at least one person that suffers from addiction or substance abuse. Addiction does not discriminate. No age, gender, race, or classes of people are immune to the horrors of addiction. This epidemic has ruined families, claimed lives, and left loved ones devastated. Over 100 people die from overdoses daily, and over 20 million Americans suffer from some form of addiction. For this reason, author Lloyd H. Bell Jr. has written the book Clean and Serene. The author is an addictions counselor and recovering addict of over 13 years. He knows and has firsthand experience of being caught in the grips of addiction. Clean and Serene provides experience, strength, and hope for the still suffering addict. It can also be used as a tool in recovery. Whether it is used in a group setting or individually, this book was written to assist in the recovery process and encourage. Integrating inspirational, encouraging, and challenging scriptures, the author has provided a resource that is sure to change lives. If you or someone you know is battling with addiction, this book is for you. If you are in recovery, this is a great resource to add to your toolbox. If you are a group leader or addictions counselor, this is an awesome book for group therapy. Clean and Serene, Scriptural Meditations for Recovery, is available nationwide in both ebook and print. Get your copy or a copy for some you know today from Amazon or Barnes & Noble Bookstore. For less than $10, you can potentially change the life of someone currently paying the high cost of living with an addiction.
Welcome back to I Reign Blog Talk Radio Show with your host, Minister Annie Bell.
Welcome back. This is the last quarter of our show. Time really flies when we're on the show for some reason. I am Minister Annie Bell. I want to offer a trigger warning for survivors who are listening in tonight. If you're going through something right now because something was triggered during this show, please don't suffer alone. I'm going to give you some numbers for you to call. There, for those who are survivors of sex trafficking and you need to reach out, 1-888-373-7888. You can even text Be Free to 233-733. Victims of domestic violence, 1-800-799-7233. Or child abuse, 1-800-4-A-CHILD. That's 1-800-422-4453. So whether you have are seeing, you have seen something, witnessed something, or you are a survivor and you just need to reach out, don't hesitate. I also have a prayer line every Thursday at 9:30. And this is more of a Facebook group. So please join us, connect with me so that you can be part of that, and we'll pray for you. We will definitely see you through. We definitely believe that prayer works. And so we have a group of people, prayer warriors, who are here to help and assist. Now, we're back again with our panel of detectives from the SV unit of DeKalb County Police Department. And again, I am so peacock proud of you ladies, because you're bold and you're out there doing what you need to do to take care. I want to give Detective Neal an opportunity to answer the last question about what's your opinion of, you know, that changes or implementations of laws or protocols that needs to happen to decrease child abuse.
I actually agree with Detective Gibbs in that the laws that they have now, they actually are a strong help to our community and to the victims. Because again, as she indicated before, it didn't include all the parties that are involved. Mm-hmm. And now that it does, it gives us more to work with, because we do want to see these children safe.
Yes.
We do want to get the people that are involved off the street. Because again, 9 chances out of 10, all the parties that are involved are probably victims too. But we don't want to keep re-victimizing.
Right.
So right. The laws that we have now, to me, actually are well implemented.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, and I kind of, part of me, you know, I am in agreement, but then I see, I think there has to be a consistency across all the nations, throughout the nation, because, you know, one state will just slap somebody's hand and say, okay, don't do that again, don't rape that little girl again, but then you have another state where they'll put them up for 30, 35 years, and so there's got to be a consistency, and it has to be more than a slap on the wrist, because for most pedophiles, they cannot help themselves, so we have to help them help themselves. Those who want children, to want to have sex with children under their prepubescent age, they're going to keep seeking out for that. And so now we see where they're having dolls made up like little kids so that, you know, they can use the dolls instead of the child. Hey, that is not going to work. All it does is continue to feed that fetish desire. And so, you know, there's got to be a different way. So, I agree with you in one hand, but the other hand, I think depending on which state you're in, it could truly be a slap on the wrist. One judge who just said that, he's sorry for raping the 6-year-old. This is his first offense, so he was allowed to go free. No punishment, no, counseling, nothing, no redirection. And so to me, that was go and do it again. That was his permission to go and do it again. So again, you know, I have to add my 2 cents.
You said something about education earlier, and that probably is the same thread that runs through this same conversation right now, is sometimes people don't know. They don't know the effects that this trauma has on children, or they do, and the other part is not wanting to admit that your city or your county, your state has this problem. So you try to reduce charges to something lesser, or it's just, it is extremely unfortunate for our victims in cases like that. And even in our law enforcement, you know, they need the education too. Not everybody has that same, the same training that we do at DeKalb or in the state of Georgia. I think our sex trafficking task force is pretty advanced. I mean, we communicate with everybody way north in Georgia and way south. We share information. And I think the same probably goes with Detective Neal and Special Victims and her sexual assaults. I mean, God forbid there's somebody, there's a serial rapist out that we don't already know about and are already looking for. So I think it is just communication and education on all sides of that problem, from law enforcement to our judicial system to the victim side.
And I agree with you, if I may say this. I agree with you, and as well as looking at it from a standpoint of view, being in Georgia, being in Atlanta, as we stated before, that Atlanta is one of the top cities when it comes to sex trafficking. So, of course, that being said, you almost would have to, you know, looking from this standpoint of view, be more aggressive with your laws in order to try to stop what's, or mitigate what's going on as best as you can. So hopefully with Atlanta being one of the top cities, that our laws of aggression, and as Detective Gibbs indicated, will educate, will help. That we don't know everything, but you know, our laws are currently they've been working. And of course things could get better, but you know, according you know, looking at it from the standpoint of view of being in Georgia.
And again,
education is the piece.
I know the governor's office has definitely taken a huge, you know, part in saying we, you know, they want to do better. And so I am glad, you know, about that here in Georgia. I got about a few more minutes, and I want to give Detective Neal, while you have the ball, while you have the mic, to go ahead and tell us a little bit about your foundation and your organization that you founded.
Well, actually, the actual organization was founded by my, I'll call it my spiritual mother. She's a prophet, calling me an apostle. She is an apostle, and she, you know, she doesn't like wear like titles. She serves well. I want to say that. And what the name of our organization is the Line of Duty Ministries, and God gave our leader a vision for a shelter and church for abused women and children. So when we moved to Atlanta, we bought a home. Well, we didn't actually, let me say it the right way. God blessed us with a home with no monies down, with no finances, and he blessed us with a home. And she said, well, hey, let's give it back to God. And in that, women, children came in. The whole man was being taken care of, a place to stay, food, shelter. And, you know, that's a part of the love for the children, a love for the ministry, because God has placed it there. So that's how everything got started. And in my life and what I've been through, God also has called me to that same vision because of the trials and tribulation in the life that I've lived and that my family has gone through. So in that, we help women and children.
Amen. Amen that you're able to take the lemons that the devil and life threw at you and turn around and allow God to make the best tasting lemonade ever. So thank you for, you know, what you've been through, but what you turned around and are doing to help others, you know, get their triumph and their victories. Now, do you have anything you would like to share, Detective Gibbs, any future endeavors or events or where they can find events?
Our unit as a whole does a lot of just brief overview of internet safety and sex trafficking talks to schools in our area. You know, we go into churches, we'll go into high schools. We love talking to young girls because that is the prime target population. So if anybody needed any information or would like something like that, we would be glad to coordinate something. I don't know offhand if we have a location coming up, but if you ever needed any of those services, we'd be glad to help out.
how do they get in touch with you to do that?
I can give you my number. It is 770-724-7522. Or you can reach me by email. It's emgibbs@decapcountyga.gov.
Great.
I just want to know what you need.
Thank you so much. I am so, so, so very thankful that you guys took some time out to come and be with me and educate our listeners. Thank you so much, Detective Neal and Detective Gibbs, for being with us today.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. This was fun, yeah.
Yeah. You're welcome. You're welcome. Now, gotta give you some applause. Y'all were wonderful. We're going to go ahead and take this moment to give wisdom to rain. And our wisdom to rain today is uprooted plants. They can still grow. So take that plant and plant it. Put it back in the ground. And if that's talking about you, your soul, your spirit, you were uprooted. Things may have happened in your life that you were not thinking of. And it was tragic. It was traumatic. But replant yourself and allow God to water you and grow you. To make a donation or get in touch with me or my team, please go to www.wealthmngt.org or follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Irain Stop Abuse and Abolish Sex Trafficking. Also, go to my YouTube channel, Irain Blog Talk, and become a subscriber so you won't miss a beat. Don't forget, my book is out there at Amazon. Go ahead and get your copy. Get your healing on. Repeat after me. I reclaim my life. I excel at living. I illuminate the dark. I grow in Christ. I nurture myself and others. Let's reign together in Christ. See you next Tuesday at 8 p.m. Thank you so very much for taking your time out to be with me. Good night, everybody.
The guilt stain. I'm more than a conqueror. I'm more than a victim. I fight. I win. The chains are broken. Yes, sir.